This show furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Kerry Kasin. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Kerry Kasin.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world. On KBC.com, I am Alan Gervy, and I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. Carrie's looking at me like I will never manage her life.
No.
Kerry Kasin is here with me. Kerry, are you enjoying this show on Sunday rather than Saturday?
You know, it is actually nice. I'll tell you why. The traffic. That's the one
and
only reason.
That. Don't tell me that.
It's nice.
Because it tells me that there's no one out on the freeways.
If anybody else that's not from Los Angeles came here, they'd say, "This. What are you talking about? There's traffic here." I mean, we were in traffic coming down.
All right.
But it's not gridlocked, where it doesn't take me an hour and a half to get home or whatever it was, you know?
How has it changed your life? Like, for me, for instance, I'm able to see my kids play hockey,
yes,
play baseball, play softball. I've been really active. I'm coaching two baseball teams. Sunday, nothing seems to be happening at 5, so I'm thankful for that. How about you?
I don't have kids. I've got cats and a boyfriend. So,
but you got lots going on in your life.
I do. I actually do. But I can thank God that my work, I can work around everything that I do. So I could do Saturday. That was fine. I could do Sunday. That's fine. I'll tell you, the only thing different is the traffic.
You're speaking very well.
Shut up.
I mean, I'm surprised because you look like a chipmunk.
I'm going to kill you. Yeah. So,
well, you love talking about this
stuff. I talk about it all the time. But I haven't put this one on Instagram because I do look so bad. I had this skin tightening procedure done around my mouth and it's swollen. So I actually look like I'm storing nuts on either side of my face.
Either that or you're just nuts.
That too.
All right. Well, I think it looks fine. Yes.
Have you seen, because we've had, you know, like Tom Mesereau on.
Yes.
And I was watching Leaving Neverland. Have you seen it?
And we had the other guy on.
Yeah, we have the attorney.
I have not seen it. I want to see it because Vivaldi, is that his name? It sounds like
Vivaldi.
Composer.
Yeah.
So he's the guy who represents, or he did at the time when he was on our show, Wade Robson. Wade Robson.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of flack because we had Mesereau on one week and then Vivaldi or some composer on the next week. And he talked about Wade and Robson.
I don't think Jimmy yet.
Well, he wasn't on our show. But and then we got all kinds of complaints on the show saying, why are you giving them time? Wade is full of it, and you know, and these Michael Jackson protectors.
I thought he was too until I saw this.
And now we see your other friend, your old boyfriend, who was on the show 3 times, talking about Michael Jackson. Now Corey is taking.
We got to get him on again and talk about this because.
Well, maybe we should get Vivaldi, Mesereau, and Corey Feldman back on the show.
Do you think they'd all get on together?
Absolutely not.
No way. Mesereau would never do that.
No. I don't think he was happy with us last time when we talked about the Bill Cosby when he didn't continue. And then that porn shame, the Playboy playmate that he represented, he wasn't happy about that either.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't remember. All right. Well, you have to start listening to the show so you'll remember
it. Yeah, I'll listen to it.
But I do want to see Leaving
Neverland.
Yeah.
And then Oprah did a special afterward, an hour with these guys. And the whole audience was filled with sexual abuse victims.
We had Oprah on as well.
Right, yeah.
No.
You mean you were on Oprah and we played the show.
I was on Oprah. I know. Yeah. I knew there was some connection with me and Oprah.
Something
so if you,
like that.
You Google Alan Gervy and see Oprah, you're going to be shocked to see.
Please don't.
Don't do it. But yeah, I was on Oprah a couple times. Let's talk. Speaking of Oprah, you know, that's a sensational, it was a show when I was on. And I'm sure other people were on Oprah too. I wasn't the only one, right?
I think there were quite a lot of guests, yeah. You weren't, no.
Was your old boyfriend Corey Feldman on?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he was on.
But, you know, Kim Kardashian is kind of like an Oprah figure.
I think Oprah
would be offended by that.
I think a lot of people right now listening are super offended by
Why?
That.
Why? Who's offended?
Because I don't think that they're in the same, they're completely different people. They're both extremely successful. One is extremely successful for helping the world and having an amazing talk show. And
that would be Kim Kardashian? This is going
to
be trash.
Talking to you anymore.
I think our guests will like it because we're not big fans of Kim Kardashian. But go ahead.
I'm done with you.
No.
People are
going to
take you seriously, and we're going to get hate calls in just a minute.
We always do. Go ahead.
No, I'm just there's big differences, and I just I think.
Do you know that
I don't want hate calls?
Do you know that there is an article written on the internet about how I interviewed, and they didn't mention you, the Wade Robson's attorney? They didn't like it. These Michael Jackson protectors didn't like it because they thought I was throwing softballs and that I wasn't tough on him because Wade Robson was lying, but apparently. With this new documentary coming out, Leaving Neverland, maybe what I said wasn't all too crazy.
It wasn't. And I was on your, I didn't believe the guys either. I thought, okay, this is for money. This isn't, when you watch this, it's 4 hours. There's just no way to me. There's no way something didn't happen. I believe them.
All right. Well, let's turn our attention from Michael Jackson and Oprah Winfrey to Kim Kardashian. And we want to talk about a lawsuit that was recently filed on behalf. The plaintiff is David Leibson. Did I pronounce that?
Leibson.
That's easy.
Leibson.
Yeah, I knew that.
Right.
So David Leibson is the plaintiff in the case, and we're going to talk to his attorney, Robert Hantman of Hantman & Associates, and David Leibson. Robert isn't a stranger to high-profile cases, because at Hantman & Associates, he's been involved in a lot of high-profile cases involving New York Yankees, Trump Model Management, Steven Seagal, Magic Johnson, Danny DeVito, a lot of people, Don King, Ford Model Management, a lot of model managements, Snooki.
I remember her.
Snooki, yeah. And now he's representing David Leibson, and there's this lawsuit that claims that David Leibson of App Social, that's the app development company, entered into an agreement with Kim Kardashian for the Kimojis. He came up with the idea. David and his partners named it. And then apparently there's a lot of things that went on, but Kim somehow cut them out of the profits for the Kimoji. Are you a big fan of Kimojis? You use those?
I don't use Kimoji. I use regular emojis and Bitmoji, which is like my favorite. I have a problem. I'm a little obsessed with the Bitmojis, and I dress my Bitmoji, and I use them sometimes for full conversations.
I would probably send you a Kimoji with her tear coming from her eye, rough-looking face with the tear coming out of it.
Her face is not rough-looking.
Have you seen the Kimoji?
No, Kim.
All right. Well, we want to welcome now to the show, to Gervie's Law, Robert Hantman and David Leibson. We want to hear about this lawsuit. Robert, David, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hey,
it's a pleasure to be on the phone. It seems like you guys are having a lot of fun. I have to listen to your radio show more often.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, we are having fun, and we want to get to the bottom of this. And this is something that really bothered me, and I'll ask David this. So I'm a big fan of Kanye West, but there's a song out there called Facts, and in it he says, Kimoji just shut down the app store, and we made a million in a minute. That's one of the lyrics in the song. David, isn't it true that he only made like 400,000 instead of a million in a minute?
Yeah, right. That's pretty frustrating hearing those lyrics, trust me.
So tell us about it. We want to hear, and those of people who are listening who don't understand what I meant when I talked about the 60-40 split. Tell us a little bit, and then we'll ask Robert some of the legal implications, but tell us what you're understanding, because I know you had a conversation with Kim. There was actually a tape recording of about 24 minutes, and she sounded really psyched about Kimoji and fight anti-bullying and fighting the trolls on social media, and this was something that you came up with and talked to her about, correct?
Yes, that's correct. That's what initiated the whole partnership, was our comment control app called Censor Out.
Now, people want to know how you got in touch or how she got in touch with you, because, of course, there was Censor Out, which was an app that you were developing and you were involved with, and she was really into it, wasn't she?
Yes, she was.
So how did this come from, this interest in Censor Out, which later became Censorgram, right? And how she got interested in it, and then all of a sudden there's this lawsuit. I'm going to ask Robert about the lawsuit, but how is there such a connection between being interested in an app that protects against bullying on social media and trolling, and how now do you have this lawsuit because of Kimoji?
Well, the comment control, that's a whole other part to this, but that's what she was very interested in at first, was being able to control some of the comments, the hateful comments and things that she was getting on her own feed, because she was having to spend so much time going through, you know, manually doing all that. And the process that we created was one that automated and gave the user the ability to control what they wanted to see, and based on keywords and phrases, numbers, emojis, stuff like that. So she was actually using the app, and she wanted to be the face of it and to, you know, start an anti-bullying organization. And at the same time, we were at the meeting, we mentioned an emoji project that we were working on called Sexy Emojis and Wall Street Emojis. They're basically just different, you know, back then in 2014, emojis were just kind of getting popular, especially the animated ones and the, you know, ones in likeness of other people. And she, what we decided was we wanted to mend our existing projects with her likeness, and we pitched that while we were pitching the comment control idea.
Well, and you were actually at her house, right? She invited you to her house.
Absolutely. Well, we already agreed to partner on the comment control app that's on the on that recording that people are talking about.
Right.
But when we went to meet up to finalize the partnership at their house in Calabasas, at Chris Jenner's house, actually.
It's, by the way, it's just down the street from where I live. I didn't see out there when you were there. The initial conversation took place. Wasn't she in Mexico and you were in your office in Oklahoma? Is it Oklahoma City where you were when you first talked? And then it progressed to the point where you actually came out to Calabasas and met with them. Is that right?
Yes. That's correct.
So let me ask you this. This is, I don't understand part of this. Maybe you can clear it up. But she's basically saying that she never said that she would share profits with you, and that I'm just trying to understand her side of the story. Why would you agree to do something? Was she gonna use her Kimoji to create a buzz about you guys? And that was her, that's what she said, like, don't pay me, I'm gonna use this. Is that her defense? I'm trying to figure out what her defense is, because it doesn't make sense that you would do something and not want to share profits or not have money for doing this for her.
You know, Carrie, we have to take a break.
Okay, so that question
can
come after.
Yeah, we're going to talk, because there's a whole story about the trademark, and I think we got to bring Robert in so he can explain how that can occur, because there it is a question of how you protect yourself when these ideas are being developed and no money has been made from them yet, but something can blow up, something can become huge, and where are you protected? And we're going to talk to Robert Handman and David Liebenson about that. After this break, you listen to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Hey,
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
KABC.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Kerry Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Nice, Wayman.
Thank
nice.
You. We're giving them more publicity. We're giving. Do they get a royalty from that? Wayman, and I think it's just too small a sample there. We're talking about Kanye West and Kim Kardashian. And by the way, they did say if you want to call, someone said that guy that let us in, 800-222-5222, 800-222-5222.
That's really fast.
I know. If you want to talk about Kim Kardashian, the lawsuit against Kim Kardashian, it's called David Liebenson versus Kim's a Princess, Inc., Kim's a Princess, that's her company, and Kim Kardashian West, if you want to talk about that, or Michael Jackson and leaving Neverland.
Yeah. And I'm going to give the phone number out so people can actually call. It's
800-222-5222.
Stop it. 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222.
So we're talking to Robert Hantman. Hantman and Associates, he's the founding partner of the firm in New York. And before the break, David was explaining how he kind of hooked up with Kim Kardashian. And I mean that through the his company. No other way. App Social is his company. And Carrie talked about, you know, what do they have to defend? Marty Singer, the attorney for Kardashian, who never wants to come on the show. I don't know why. We always give him an opportunity.
I thought we had Singer on the show once. Did we not?
That was Brian Singer.
Oh, Brian Singer.
No, we didn't have him on either.
Who? I thought we had him, I swear. We've had everybody.
He got nothing, no credit for Bohemian Rhapsody, Brian Singer.
Good.
But so Marty Singer said that the lawsuit, which, and this is what attorneys tend to do, they're skilled in this way to say, it's ridiculous and absurd. Ridiculous and absurd. The claim is for breach of contract, breach of fiduciary duty, unjust enrichment, which is an equitable remedy, and fraud. Robert, tell us why Marty Singer is just doing some damage control, saying that it's ridiculous and absurd.
Well, every case you mentioned with Seagal, the Yankees, DeVito, Magic Johnson, every lawyer says when they're defending somebody who doesn't want to pay, they always say it's ridiculous, you're not going to win, you have no case.
Yeah.
Everybody says that.
Yeah.
But every case you mentioned, people paid. And the only ones who didn't pay were the Yankees, where they didn't pay voluntarily. And then after a 3.5-week jury trial, they lost. So wow. I'm not surprised that Marty or any other lawyer would say that the case has no merit. It means nothing. I think what's more important is that, and I wish Kerry would be on the jury, when Kerry said, why would they share this idea with Kimojis and not expect to get paid?
Right.
Obviously, they expected it. Not only did they expect to get paid, but when they discussed the Kimojis with her, she said to them, have you trademarked it yet? And they said, no. And she said, well, don't worry. I'll trademark it for you. Now, obviously, unless Liebenson and his group felt they had an agreement, why would they allow a total stranger to trademark something they came up with?
But it also also begs the question, Robert, and I know you probably didn't represent David at the time or his partners as well. What is it, Narayan Shankar and Daniel Rice. Wouldn't it be advisable to protect yourself by saying, hey, if you're going to trademark it, we need our name on that regardless of who's
right.
paying for it?
100%. I mean, there's absolutely so many things they could or should have done, but obviously they got caught up in the excitement of being with somebody as well known as Kim Kardashian. They really had no reason to think that she was going to invite them to her house, be so excited to meet them, and then do what she did. You know, clearly they had reasonable reliance that she was not going to take advantage, but could they or should they have done something different? Of course they should have.
You know,
I think any jury would understand that.
This happened
but it doesn't
to
mean,
me.
It doesn't mean that what you did was right.
Right. This happened to me. I have to say, I trusted people doing, you know, we were doing a documentary together, completely trusted that them, didn't get anything in writing. I thought, you know, we're a team, we're doing this together. Didn't even think that I would, you know, eventually I had to take them to court and I won. But it was, I should have done that. And, you know, hindsight is 20/20. You look back and go, I should have done this, this, and this. So is there any proof that there was an agreement for money between David and Kim, or the company and Kim?
Well, David, I'll let you answer that because you have firsthand knowledge.
Oh yeah, we have emails and screenshots, and, you know, discussions where we talk about netting a contract, and, you know, looking back on it all, and, you know, all the many exhibits of evidence that we do have, and listening to the recording and just everything, I, you know, hindsight, that's a thing. We were victimized, and I totally didn't see it. You know, yeah. I wasn't on the phone whenever she called asking about the trademark. She asked about the trademark two times, once in the initial meeting, and they asked if we had trademarked that name, and we had not yet. And then when she called back and staged her whole frustrations with this alleged screenshot or whatever was going on, that I had no idea what was even going on with that. I was confused. I didn't know anything about a screenshot. I didn't know anything about a text message.
David, I want to extrapolate on that a little bit, because people who aren't as familiar with the facts, and I'm sure, you know, Robert talked about some of these issues, but it may be that Marty Singer is saying it's absurd and ridiculous, not because you didn't have a deal and or, you know, you were entering into, what was it, a 60-40 split? Is that what it was going to be, 60 for App Social and 40 for the Kardashian, the princess or whatever?
Yes, that was for both deals.
Correct. Okay, so here's where the complicating factor comes in. They are saying that in 2014, when this screenshot or whatever it was disseminated to someone or in public, that she got literally pissed off and didn't want to do business, and in fact tried to negotiate a deal with you that they would sign an agreement saying they wouldn't sue you for $5 million in exchange, and I don't know if it's in exchange, I'm just putting in there, for the deal not going through with Kimoji. So is there any truth to that you signed or your company signed something saying, okay, we're walking away from, I mean, it sounds ridiculous to me, but we're walking away from Kimoji because we don't want to get sued for $5 million for disseminating personal information about Kim Kardashian or, you know, the princess?
Well, And that's interesting. You bring that up, because what had happened with that whole situation was allegedly my partner at the time had sent a text message to an ex partner of his, bragging, you know, saying, you know, your dream girl, because she was a big fan of Kardashian. She wanted to partner with us, but we turned her down because she wanted too much. And it was just something along those lines. It was like friendly banter. You know, it wasn't, there was no private information disseminated or anything. And what come to find out later on, we through some evidence we've uncovered while we were building the case, that she was aware of the screenshot text message before we were invited out to California. And
she wasn't upset about it. And she wasn't upset about it.
She was not upset about it.
Well, she may have been upset about it, but she didn't say anything at the time. I think you're looking at timing here.
She kept it in her pocket, you know. And at first,
that's really duplicitous.
Yeah, and we have some pretty good proof of that. So, you know, that's where the fraud, you know, comes into play. And so the screenshot basically was a tool for her to get what she wanted. And I can't really discuss too much about the comment control part because we're going to get into some of that later. And, you know, Robert probably doesn't want me to say much about that.
Right.
But, you know, that whole victimization to get what she wanted, you know, it was... you know, and where Singer is coming in and saying that we signed a settlement release, I'll get to that. He basically sent us a threatening letter saying we're going to sue you for $5 million if you don't give us the right to for my client to use Kimoji and to do her own comment control app of her, you know, of her own using.
Wow.
So, and you know, at the time, Singer and then our attorney, you know, they were kind of pressuring us because, like, is this something was done wrong? Because the way Singer was coming at us, you know, saying that you violated her privacy rights, you know, and come to find out, he used some wiretapping violation is the code that he put in for the threat. It wasn't even the correct violation.
Marty Singer, you're saying?
Yes, that's correct.
And that's Kim's attorney.
Yeah.
So right now, so I never signed this agreement. I refused. I was confused. I didn't know what was going on.
Did your and we have to take a quick break, but did your partner sign the agreement on behalf of your company, AppSocial?
Under duress, yes, they did.
Okay, because I want to ask Robert after the break how that's going to play a part in it, whether there is a little bit of a mountain to overcome if under the company there was an agreement signed, even if you weren't involved, and whether that will be an impediment to moving forward. And we'll talk about that after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Net, that don't kill me, can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up now.
Is this another Kanye West song? Carrie.
Wait, isn't this that song that...
Is this Fast?
No, this is Stronger. This is Stronger.
Yeah, no, this isn't the one where they made $1 million in a minute.
Yeah.
We are talking to Robert Hantman and David Liebenson about the lawsuit. It's David Liebenson versus Kim is a Princess Inc. and Kim Kardashian West. And Robert, really quickly, I've read that the damages you're asking for is $300 million. I've read $423 million. Is there an amount or is this something that's just out in the media?
I think it's probably out in the media to the extent that what matters is really what a judge or jury would award.
Yeah.
And it's premature to know how much the plaintiffs would be entitled to because we don't know how much she made.
Right.
Let me just make a point because you asked an excellent question about whether it was a contract, not a contract, what they should have done or not done. But as you know, there's also unjust enrichment.
Yes.
You know, that even if you have nothing in writing, if somebody performed some service or gave somebody something of benefit and the other person benefited from it and the person who gave it to him expected to get paid, you can get paid under unjust enrichment.
Right.
You know, that was like in the Yankee case I had, there was no contract. So even we believe there was a contract, but even if there wasn't, she received something of benefit and she made money with it.
And
you know, so
what about
the least you can do is pay them some money. Now, your question about the signatures,
Before we get to the signature, I just want to follow up on what you said. What about stealing the idea? I mean, I'm looking at breach of contract, breach of fiduciary duty, unjust enrichment, which would go into stealing an idea, and fraud. You know, in law school, you learn an idea is free as in the air, but it really isn't if there's access to it and that it's stolen. Is that a theory that you would use on an unjust enrichment claim?
Well, that's more apropos to the fact that she, when she filed the trademark application, she put down that she was that she owned the name, essentially.
Right.
And that itself is a misrepresentation because she's not the creator of the name, which is, you know, pretty straightforward. You know, but this case, you know, does have some, you know, problems. Every case has some problems.
Right.
But the thing is, Marty Singer, let me tell you, he's an excellent lawyer. And he's It's my son just came into my apartment. Alex, don't say a word. He's a very good lawyer. I've dealt with him in the past, and he's very tenacious, and he's a very good litigator. He's very persuasive. So when he wrote the letter to the social app group, you know, he scared them. But as California counsel has pointed out, because they're involved too, you know, if you're threatened, you're going to sue somebody for something, and people are scared and do something because they're afraid they're going to be sued, but there's no basis for the lawsuit. In California, as I understand it, that could be a basis to negate the signing. So they might have signed under false pretenses, thinking that they really had some potential liability when they had no liability.
Was there something specific in there that waived any rights to compensation for Kamoji?
I don't have it right in front of me, but it would be considered an agreement that there wouldn't be a lawsuit, but it did anticipate that there could be some controversy or litigation over it. That's why it provided that if there was any problem, it would be arbitrated with JAMS, which is, you know, a volunteer organization of mostly retired judges who then make decisions. So the fact that there was an arbitration provision, it would anticipate that there could have been problems, and there were. And that's something which David's position is that he never signed it, so he's not bound by it. And that's why he, unlike the other two people, was able to file a lawsuit in Oklahoma with an Oklahoma lawyer, and my admission is pending.
But it's in federal court, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in federal court because Levinson lives in Oklahoma. The phone call was in Oklahoma.
But aren't you admitted? Aren't you admitted for federal courts?
Well, I'm admitted, but you still have to get local counsel. And you still have to make a pro forma application.
Yeah, so that's what you're in the process of doing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Do you have
Let me just say this. We hope the case gets resolved. We had negotiations trying to resolve it, and it didn't end up where we were hoping. But listen, Mr. Singh, Marty Singer is a reasonable guy. His client, I would hope, would be reasonable. And as they focus on this, I would hope it gets resolved. If it doesn't, there'll be litigation. And, you know, players either win or they lose. That's like any case.
David,
that will be successful.
David, did she sound reasonable? Now, you spoke to Kim Kardashian how many times? Two or three times?
Yeah, twice.
Twice. And now, did she have
her email and text more?
Did she have her own people doing this stuff, or was she doing everything on her own? Is she, like, right in the forefront talking to you, emailing you, or are there her people doing that?
No, this was direct between her and her mom. And then there toward the end, when she was asking about the trademark, the last thing she said was that she was going to leave her assistant, Stephanie, in as our liaison for the Kamoji designs and for, you know, the updates on the Comment Control app.
So you created the Kamoji designs?
Correct. The original ones, yes, we did.
And then you, did you have any, when you first were talking to her, did you have any kind of gut feeling like, ooh, she's going to trademark my idea and my design? Did you worry about it at all? Was there any kind of gut feeling?
Honestly, I, you know, we had so many conversations and emails and text messages. I just wasn't even thinking there was a potential for us to get screwed over. I truly was not even thinking that. Like, if I just talk to somebody for the first time and they're like, hey, why don't you send me your, you know, all this information and your provisional patent file and all this other stuff, and you know, I want to check this out and see what's up. I would have been very cautious, and you know, I would have said no. You know, we need to get an NDA or something. Something needs to happen first. But with this was, you know, we talked multiple times leading up to this. We had emails, multiple people were involved. You know, we were texting. Also, I just didn't think there was any possibility that we can get screwed.
And you met with her personally in Calabasas, right?
Yeah. For sure.
And that went fine? There was no...
The only time anything seemed off was when we were getting up to leave. We were told that we needed to sign this NDA, and this NDA that their gardener, their grandparents, everybody has to sign. And it wasn't a big deal, but if we didn't sign it, that we weren't going to be able to move forward with anything.
Well, wait a second here. So they had you sign the NDA, and for those of you who don't know, that's a non-disclosure agreement. After the fact, after you'd been involved, then when you were, they kind of held it over your head and said, if you don't sign this, why don't they do it before and then talk?
Or give it to your lawyer. Say, hey, look, we need you to sign this NDA. Take it to your lawyer. Take a look at it before we talk. That's what should have happened.
That's the thing. We were, like Robert said, we were kind of excited. We didn't have our attorney. He wasn't able to be with us at the time, and we weren't expecting their attorney to be there, which he was. So it was just a little offside, one-sided in the whole situation. And looking back, we probably should have asked for us to, postpone for when our attorney could be there.
Yeah.
Maybe ask more questions before we signed the NDA. And
did they offer you some cupcakes or a drink or something?
Oh my gosh!
I think they offered us water.
What about the recording? What about the recording? How did you get that? How is this recording out there?
Well, my cousin at the time, we were both in my office and we were just really excited about the situation. And we, knew that we were going to be discussing, a potential partnership. And we were just worried that we weren't going to be able to, take enough notes on the situation. We really just wanted to make sure we covered everything and we could refer back to the conversation and all, maybe just a little thought that we wanted to protect ourselves for the future. And I wasn't thinking about the recording, but my cousin luckily pulled out his phone and decided to start recording.
Was it disclosed to Kim at the time?
No, it wasn't.
And so, Robert, how does that work? How did it get into the media? Isn't it a problem if it's not disclosed when you're tape recording a conversation?
Well, it depends on the law of the particular states. In New York, it's you could do it. I think in California, you can't.
You cannot.
No, you can't. It's two-party.
I believe in Oklahoma, you can do it. In Mexico City, I'm not sure there's any laws that apply in Mexico City.
Maybe not. And she was in Mexico City at the time. So who leaked this to the media? Or maybe it wasn't a leak. Maybe it was just given to them. David?
No comment.
I think people pick it up, I mean, yeah. It's pretty newsworthy.
Yeah. And it helps, doesn't it help in your negotiations? Because you said, people don't understand. You file a lawsuit. I do it all the time. But you're still talking to the other side. You're still trying to reach a settlement. And it doesn't mean that the other side isn't going to come up with a decent settlement offer. So does this help in negotiations when you can sway public opinion one way or another?
Well, I think it helps in any case to be reasonable. And as the other side understands their own problems, they're more likely to resolve the case. On this here, what I anticipate, there'll be motions to dismiss. And if the motions are denied, there's probably greater incentive to try to settle the case.
Right.
Magic Johnson case, it went to the very end after 10 months. Steven Seagal case took like 3 years.
In the Magic, who were you representing in the Magic Johnson case?
Reed Wallace. It was a trademark infringement case, which really was more against One West than Magic Johnson. And Magic Johnson's a real gentleman. I think he just wasn't really aware of what was going on with the trademark.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
And, a lot of these cases have common themes to them where the big name takes from the little guy. And then depending on what the final product is. And David, I want to ask you because isn't there a company, Whale Rock, an LA company who helped develop the Kimoji? How different is it from what you had talked to Kim about the final product that's been out there and successful?
It's no different other than the final design that she wanted to tweak.
Really,
the original emojis that we showed her was an animated emoji of her holding up the our app, our Sensorgram app, just kind of like a play on both projects and a few other ones of Kanye and a jet flying through the air and a pregnant woman and some other things that she, actually literally used the exact same ones on her, her Kimoji release.
Hmm.
And some of them are barely even changed.
Did you create the one with her crying and then her butt and all that?
No, not those.
Okay. Those are two separate ones. Her crying and her butt are two separate ones. She's not crying on her butt. Now,
but I wanted to make a point, though, you know, as to why we decided to do the federal lawsuit. You know, at first, I was really hoping that we would be able to negotiate a settlement. And, you know, it just came down to, you know, almost like they were, you know, I was being defrauded some more because we were offered such a small amount.
I mean, I went talk about the settlement discussions.
Gotcha.
Yeah. We don't want to talk about that. But what I do want to ask, and I know where you were going with that. And for those of us, and I'm not using your case in particular, but for those of us who litigate and who have settlement negotiations all the time, a lot of times we do get pretty frustrated or pissed off when the offer is low or there's no respect shown and you know what you've done. And that does motivate you to move forward. And maybe it will result in a more realistic settlement offer. What about your two partners? We've got to take a quick break, David, but I want to ask you, Shanker and Rice, what kind of relationship do you have with them? And are they trying to get on this bandwagon now, or have they just kind of disappeared?
Oh, no, we're all fighting for the same result here. They're just having to deal with a slightly different course of action right now, which is through JAMS trying to get the settlement release rescinded.
So they're not, Robert, you're not representing them. You're just representing David as an individual in this lawsuit, correct?
Right. The other two fellas have their own counsel in California, and they have to proceed in JAMS. And the issue there will be what you pointed out was whether the release or the settlement is enforceable and valid. If it is valid and enforceable, then as to those two, it would create a problem because you wouldn't get to the merits of the case.
And there may be another unjust enrichment equitable remedy that may be available if the legal one falls through. We got to take a quick break. We'll close it out after the break. We're talking to Robert Hatman and David Liebenson about the lawsuit against the Kim Kardashian. And we will finish it up after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah. We were going to play the song Facts, but we were informed by Wayman that it is just too dirty.
It's filthy.
And when we talk about that, that's the song that apparently Kanye West decided to include the lyric emoji, just shut down the app store, and we made a million in a minute, bragging about making a million in a minute. And yeah, the song's really dirty. And maybe they made a million and it was really dirty. Kim, I called you Kim. What's your name? Carrie?
Yeah.
Carrie, you look a little bit like Kim Kardashian.
I'm just looking at these emojis. I'm looking at Kim and her evolution through all the years. She now looks like Cher. Does she not?
I think she looks like you.
Well, I mean, look, I think she's beautiful. But she looks like Cher. And I've, okay, so I let me tell you something. I've gotten, when I wear my curly hair, I get Cher all the time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I mean, literally though, her face has evolved so much. She now looks, she looks like Cher.
Yeah,
like,
I think what you need to do, folks, is just go on the internet, put Kim Kardashian, Carrie Kasem, and Cher next to each other.
No, I look nothing like her. See. Look, that looks like Cher.
It does look like Cher.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay,
thank
you can
finally
share,
you agree with me.
You can share that on Facebook if you
I'll
want.
I'll share it, yeah.
All right. So, you know, David Liebenson and Robert Hantman of Hantman & Associates talking about this lawsuit. Where is it going to go? If it doesn't settle in the next little bit, Robert, what's the next steps?
Well, what I anticipate is, in the Oklahoma case, Kardashian is going to file a motion to dismiss or to transfer the case, arguing the case should not even be in Oklahoma, should be dismissed. But if it's going to go forward, it should be in California. And we would object to that and point out the reasons why it should be in Oklahoma. And have it proceed in Oklahoma.
Now, are you concerned if it does go to California that it might be a problem?
No, I'm not concerned about anything. I don't care where it is, you know. And we hope we get jurors as smart and intellectual as both you and Kerry. Like, we should bring you
good
in
luck.
As counsel.
we can talk
that?
To we can talk to the potential jurors out here if you need us to.
Yeah.
we'll have a
emoji too. Do a Kerry emoji.
There you go.
And we can do a song.
I will. I will take that Kerry emoji, and I won't trademark it. I swear myself. You can do it. I'll give you half.
Yeah, no, go ahead, because I think I interrupted you when you were saying about it being transferred here. And by the way, if it is, you're welcome to come in studio, both you and David, and you can chat with us, and we'll tell the folks what you think. And I'll go, you know, I don't know if I can go home to Calabasas because it's Kardashian country, but, you know.
You're going to be in trouble.
I may be in trouble.
You're going to be in trouble.
Well, I see you guys have a great radio show. You've had some really good pointed questions, and I appreciate being on your radio. And talk to Marty Singer. Get him on the radio and see why he won't come up with more money for his client.
Well, you know, and that's a great point, Robert. I appreciate you saying that, because we've challenged, you know, a lot of times we have people on the radio and they're willing to come on and talk about the case or talk about the situation, and then there's those who will not.
Mm-hmm.
And when they don't, we always wonder, you know, hey, it's in the media. You should come out here. What are you afraid of?
Right.
Just let's talk about it. If you have a case, let's talk about it. It's great to have both sides. We're not taking one or the other unless the other side doesn't come on. So, you know, we have to have an inference of they got something to hide, maybe. David, would
possibly
you agree with
yeah.
that?
I think so. I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
Well, nothing. We're lawyers here. Robert
nothing
and I would agree.
Straightforward, right? nothing on this show is ever straightforward.
Well, let me, I mean, to a juror, it's
yeah,
pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It may be, you know, once the facts come out, and that's the discovery process. And I think that's what Robert's talking about. You know, I don't know that it's going to be dismissed so quick without the facts coming out. And that's where maybe the law needs to be applied to the facts to see exactly, you know, what happens. And we want to wish you all the luck on this. You know, hopefully the truth will come out, whatever that truth is. And again, if Kim Kardashian wants to come on the show and talk to us and serve us some water, we can go over to her house. I know some.
Yeah, but remember, we're going to have to sign that NDA right after the show goes off the air.
You know, we had a serviceman out at our house not too long ago, and I don't think things were going well. He was telling us how much something was going to cost, and we weren't really excited about it. So he says, "You know what? I got to go. I have to go to the Kardashians. I'm going to Kim Kardashian's house. I'm their resident, you know, whatever service person." And I thought, perfect. See ya. Go to the Kardashians, because I'm sure.
Did he really say that to you?
Absolutely. And I thought he was the biggest a-hole for saying that.
That's horrible.
You know, it's like, give me a break. Just deal with us. You don't need a name drop that you're going to the house down the street that, you know, that's ripping off Kimojis from guys in Oklahoma City who are developing these really, you know, and they've made a lot of money. Let's put it out there. We got to close, Robert. Do you have any idea how much has been made on the Kimojis?
I think a substantial amount. I don't have the actual amount. I haven't spoken to Ms. Kardashian or Marty how much they made.
Yeah, David, you don't.
I knew.
David, do you have any ideas? No.
Well, just other than what the media accounts.
Yeah, and that, of course, we don't know if we can trust them. But we appreciate the two of you coming on because, you know, you're really the horse's mouth rather than the media because you can't really believe everything the media. That's what I've heard. So thanks again, Robert Hantman and David Liebenson. Good luck with the case, and thanks for being on Gervie's Law today.
Thank you both.
You mentioned the horse because of the Oklahoma case?
That's a good one. We'll leave it at that. Have a good evening, gentlemen.
Bye.
Nice. Nice. All right. Well, that's just going to about do it for Gervie's Law this week.
Yes. And listen, I like that we're keeping cases that are really in the news now. And we've got to take a look at that Leaving Neverland. And I'm going to ask Corey to be back on. And
Get Corey on it. And maybe we'll get Vivaldi back on. the attorney for, what's his name?
Wade Robson.
Yeah. And folks, if you have any ideas, if you do, we get everyone on. No one turns us down. No one has ever turned us down.
Except for Marty Singer.
Please let us know, and we're happy to get him on the show. Go to our Facebook page and leave a message for us. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.